Good evening.
Good evening.
I am so excited to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor David, for the invitation and for letting the congregation be here tonight. I was sitting down there and I thought, if you're coming to listen to me, you're going to be very disappointed. But if you're coming to hear what God has to say to you tonight, I hope you walk away with something. I have two of my sisters visiting, one from Kenya and one from Toronto, Canada. And I was just telling Pastor David what a joy it is to have them. We haven't been together in 21 years. And this Christmas, we get to celebrate this special Christmas together. But tonight, I'd invited them, and they chose to do something else with my son. So here I am. But I have 15 minutes, and I just have one little thought to share with you. So let us bow, let us pray, let us see what the Holy Spirit has. Father, we are not here because we chose to be here. We are here because your Spirit has invited us here, and each man and woman in this space said yes. We ask, O God, that you would take your word, break it 50 different ways, so that each individual within the reach of my voice, O Lord, will hear only you and what you have to say to them. Speak to them, O God. Speak to me, O God. Continue to transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit, fashioning us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we will be ready when you come back for us. We thank you and bless you tonight for your presence in this place. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our reading tonight is from Galatians chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along, kindly open your Bible, Galatians chapter 3. And I will read from verse 23 to 28, but will focus what I have to say tonight on verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 28. Paul writes, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I'll read verse 28 again. "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I came across a story of a woman named Florence Chadwick. One chilly morning in 1952, she decided to swim across the Pacific Ocean, and she wanted to reach the mainland of the California. The weather was so foggy and chilly, she could hardly see the boats that were accompanying her. But she had a goal. She wanted to reach the shore. And so she started to swim, and she swam for 15 hours. She got tired, and she began to beg her mother. She wanted to give up, but her mother in the boat alongside her told her she was so close to the shore. "Don't give up, Florence, don't give up." And so she tried to swim, but that fog, she just couldn't stop looking at it. And finally, Florence gave up, and she climbed into the boat. As soon as she did, she discovered that the shore was just half a mile away. She had given up too soon.
She had given up too soon. At a news conference the next day, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the show, I would have made it." Life is like that. When you hear those words, "If I could only have seen the show, I think I would have made it." Isn't that who we are? That as we go through life, we're surrounded by a fog. Sometimes it's financial stress. Sometimes it's marital stress. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's depressions. It could be absolutely anything. But as we go through life, we are constantly wrestling with a fog. We know that we have a goal. We have the show. We are always looking to Jesus. There's somewhere we are trying to get, but things happen in the meantime. And when we forget whose we are, when we forget who we are, we cave in and we give up. Sometimes this fog is an identity crisis. We just don't know who the next person is, the person sitting next to us. Paul has just told this young church, this Galatian church, that there is no longer Jew nor Greek, no longer slave nor free, no male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And this young church that was trying to get to the shore had this foggy morning, this foggy moment when they had absolutely forgotten what God's word to them had said. And sometimes the church is like that. We say, yes, we love God. We say, yes, we love each other. But we get uncomfortable in the fog. The Galatians were no different from us. They were living in a fog. Paul had written this letter to remind them who they are. In Christ, you're justified by faith. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you come from. Once you're in Christ, you're justified by faith. We find this same sentiment in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Christ is all and he is in all. We are one. As long as we're believers, we are justified by faith. There are no racial, social, or gender distinctions. Nothing can hinder anyone from receiving God's grace. All people become heirs to his kingdom. But too often, humanity swims in a fog. In the early days of my time in the U.S., I had come from Kenya. And in Kenya, I was a very privileged child. But I got to the border, and they're processing my papers, and I became a number. I became a number. Then I got to the school, and the students were wrestling with my identity. Who is this person? She's black. She's female. She's got an accent. And I remember this was 1996, a student asking me, "So when did you start wearing clothes?" I thought that was only school children. Then I began a long career where I was the only person of color that reached the executive level in a 50-year-old company. And I still struggled because I was always the outsider. I was always the outsider. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how hard I worked. I was always the outsider. I don't tell you this story to make you feel bad. I'm bringing you back to what Paul is saying, that in Christ,
As long as we have the Spirit of Christ, we are one. And so I had two choices because I felt I was swimming in a fog. Because this relationship thing, it's two-way. It's never one party that's doing the wrong. No, it's always two-way. My response was equally important. And I had to make a decision what I was going to do. And just in case you think it's only Grand Rapids, let me read to you what Stacey and John Eldridge say in their book titled Captivating. They said that the Jews were known to pray, "Thank you, God, for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. In Christ, we are one." And so how did I wrestle with this fog and what did I do? One, I stayed in the Word. You can't go wrong when you stay in the Word. It's the GPS. I've been to this church in the daytime, but I have this thing they call night blindness. And so tonight I found myself driving in a fog. And I needed my GPS, so I turned it on. And I didn't get creative. I listened to what that voice told me to do. And that's why I got here. I think sometimes when it comes to relationships, when it comes to differences, whether that's gender differences, racial differences, socioeconomic differences, we get creative. We begin to build our own rules. And what that does, it takes us to the wrong destination. We do not get to the shore. What we need to do is listen to the GPS. That GPS happens to be this book. This book tells us where to get to. So I dug into the Word, and I found a psalm that kept me those 15 years. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 14, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." I had to look in the mirror every single day before going to work and tell myself I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that strength I found in the Word sustained me those 15 years. The second thing I did is I stayed in the swim. Sometimes in life when it gets foggy, we want to give up. We give up on our marriages, we give up on friendships, we give up on so many things because we don't have the discipline to stay in the swim. I felt the Spirit of God tell me, "Joanne, just keep showing up." And so I would drive far and wide. One time I went to Muskegon for a meeting. I happened to be the keynote speaker. And the gentleman at the door had been greeting people and, you know, welcoming them to this meeting. As soon as I showed up, I had the misfortune or the fortune of always being the one person in the room that was different. And so when I got to the door, he said, "May I help you?" And he shut the door slightly. I said, "I'm here to attend the meeting." And so when I went and got my keynote speaker's tag, his mouth just fell open. He was quite shocked. Stay in the swim. There's always a destination. And if we stay in the swim, we do get to the end. The third thing I did is what Pastor David wants me to talk about tonight. I established Esther's hope. You see, the Lord is amazing. He does not call people who are up here to help people who are down here. I've discovered he does not waste our experiences. And when he takes us through painful experiences of identity, trying to find who you are, trying to find your significance, it's for a reason. And so by experiencing what I had gone through those years, it led me to underprivileged young women in Kenya who face the same issues that I'm talking about tonight. Because Kenya is a capitalist society. The rich are up here. They have nothing to do with the poor down here. And while I was in Kenya enjoying privilege, I didn't know what this felt like. The school God put me in was the United States. And I feel as though once I graduated, he took me back to Kenya. And so I've established a nonprofit called Esther's Hope. I did some research and I discovered that established Christian organizations like Compassion International and World Vision help the children. Everybody helps the children. But there's this awkward age, 13 to 16, not quite children, but they're not adults, and yet they're suffering. So many of them become trafficked. So many of them get married as fourth, fifth, sixth wives to older people, people that are 70 or 80. Not that that's bad, except when the girl is 13. And so the Lord led me to establish Esther's Hope. And what I do is I keep these young women in school, and not just me, but it's the organization that I've formed. We keep these young women in school, and what the Lord has asked us to do is to surround them with mentoring, Christian, biblical mentoring, so that they can become mature spiritual adults who understand they're on this earth as a conduit of blessing to others, not just to get, but to become a channel of blessing wherever God sends them. And so I started 3 years ago just alone in the background. Nobody knew what I was doing. My mother had died. She had left a small inheritance, and I put that inheritance towards keeping 10 girls in school. And then in 2017, that's in April of this year, I went public. And your pastor came to that dinner where I was able to get some friends together, and we ended up keeping 32 girls in school. 14 have just graduated from what Kenya calls Form 4, but that's high school, and are now college bound. And so my excitement is to be able to track them through college and see what their lives are like now that they got that support. But even as I stand here, I have just walked away from my full-time job. It is by faith. I didn't do it overnight. It took 3 years. And the Lord has enabled us to plan for 100 girls in 2018. What I want you to know is God has placed us on this earth to fulfill an eternal purpose. You never know. The person walking in through that door might be part of his purpose for your life. And if we do not observe the GPS that he has given us, we will give up. God wants us to get to the shore. Florence Chadwick did not end up a failure. If you follow her story, she tried that same swim many years later. And this time, despite the fog, she stuck with it, and she completed her swim. What I want to tell you today is that I don't know what the pastor is exposing you to. I don't know what the challenges are like. But as a church, as the body of Christ, listen to these words from Paul. There's neither Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one. And if as a church we can stay in the swim, he will take us to shore. Amen.
Amen.